Welcome to the Fourth and Goal Fantasy Podcast with your hosts, Nick Sykes and Jimbo Donahue.
Welcome to the show, everyone. It's a special Saturday episode here today at the Fourth and Goal Fantasy Podcast. I am your host, Nick Sykes, and today is going to be a solo episode. Jimbo is out of town, and on today's episode, we are going to be breaking down Week 2 rankings for wide receivers and tight ends, looking into these matchups. So let's get on into it. First off, we're starting at wide receivers. The top 10 guys are going to be pretty self-explanatory. All of them have pretty dang good matchups, starting off with Davante Adams versus Detroit. An interesting rivalry. Detroit played the Packers very closely the two times they played them last year. Davante Adams was present for the second one of those games, which is our last game of the year. And he had a touchdown, 13 targets, and 7 catches, which is unbelievable. Now, it seems as though Davante Adams has returned to form on pace, obviously, to possibly break 10 touchdowns this season, which is why and where you drafted him. I think Detroit has a terrible secondary, but I do think this game is going to be close, which is great because that means they're going to throw the ball more to Davante Adams, so be excited. DeAndre Hopkins versus Washington. Not sure if Hopkins is going to see the 14 or 16 targets he saw last week, but against a poor Washington defense, I do expect them to throw the ball a lot. Just because Washington, their D-line actually looked pretty decent against Philly last week, but I don't think that's going to stop Kyler Murray from running all over them. But be excited for Hopkins. This is a smash matchup. Next up, you have Julio Jones at Dallas. You know, win or lose, Matt Ryan is going to get a ton of yards, and Julio is always a great recipient of that. You can expect a pretty safe baseline from Julio this week. Next up, we have Mike Evans versus Carolina, a terrible Carolina defense that got ripped apart by Derek Carr last week. News came out today. Chris Godwin is out this week with his concussion, so it looks like they're going to be leaning heavily on Mike Evans. Bruce Arians came out and said he felt bad for Mike Evans. He feels bad for Mike Evans whenever he doesn't get 10 targets. So expect Mike Evans to be a big part of the game plan this weekend and probably some pretty big plays as well. Next up, I have Allen Robinson versus the New York Giants. Now, the Giants defense is also pretty poor, as we saw against Pittsburgh last week. Allen Robinson, the target monster from last year with 155 targets, insane. And as we know, this week, Allen Robinson has requested a trade. He's not happy in Chicago, but I don't think that's going to stop him from playing his best and receiving the workload he needs to see on the field. I expect Allen Robinson to feast and to be the favorite target of Mitchell Trubisky as per usual. Next up, we have Tyreek Hill at the LA Chargers. I mean, Tyreek always brings you this insane big play ability. The Chargers do have a decent secondary and a decent defense, but when you're going against Pat Mahomes and the Chiefs, it's just you're kind of just waiting for each guy to kind of have their play during the game when it comes to Hill and Kelsey, and whoever else pops off is kind of just sprinkles on top. Next up, we have Adam Thielen at the Indianapolis Colts. Now, a lot of us in the fantasy community had the Colts defense rated pretty high due to their kind of strength of schedule early on, and we thought that they were going to be able to perform pretty well, but Gardner Minshew blew him up with 3 touchdowns. Now we're looking at Thielen. We're really curious to see if he's going to be able to retain that number one role, pick up where he left off last season. I mean, last week he had 8 targets, 6 receptions, 110 yards, and 2 touchdowns. I expect him to keep rolling here and have another great day for your fantasy lineup. Next up, Calvin Ridley at Dallas. Same argument as Julio, a very safe floor, a healthy target share, and win or lose, Calvin Ridley is probably going to eat. Next up, we have Amari Cooper versus Atlanta. Now, I'm not an Amari Cooper truther like some people out there. I think he disappears too often than not to be considered a clear wide receiver one. The talent is there, and the matchup is there this week against Atlanta. I expect Amari Cooper to have a very big day, along with other Dallas receivers as well. Kind of hard, I feel like, these days to really predict who's going to pop, but Amari Cooper is a solid option. Next up, we have Robert Woods at Philadelphia. Now, Robert Woods seems to be the top receiver here for this Rams offense. Just had a huge contract extension this week. And this week he was looking on playing Philadelphia, which does have a very poor secondary. They rely a lot on their D-line. I think with the upgrades to offensive line for the Rams, I think Robert Woods is going to have a great day. We've seen it at the end of last season, beginning of this season. Robert Woods is all reliable for this offense now. And I believe him probably have another 100-yard game here. Next up, we have DJ Moore at Tampa Bay. Now, a lot of you Moore owners might be a little bit low on him after last week and seeing Robbie Anderson pop off. But don't worry, DJ Moore had the most targets on the team with 9. It was just unfortunate that the stat line came out as it did. But when we're looking at receivers, how we like to kind of grade them is based on their target share. And when you have a number one target share on an offense, that is always something that needs to be recognized. And we saw the breakout from DJ Moore last year. And I think even against a pretty good Tampa Bay defense, I think DJ Moore is still going to see work here. Next up, we have Juju versus Denver. Now, we saw Denver's D-line be pretty, actually, I wouldn't say pretty effective, but they have a pretty good pass rush against Big Ben last week. Against Ryan Tannehill last week. And I think the secondary is okay in Denver, but I really expect Juju as the slot receiver to see a lot of work. A lot of plays designed for him in this offense, and I really expect Juju to keep it rolling here against Denver, especially when you're seeing Tannehill throw it over 40 times. You know Denver secondary is probably pretty susceptible, and I expect Big Ben to take more advantage than Ryan Tannehill. Starting getting into these wide receiver twos for the week, I think this is where a lot of the questions of these start-sits start really kind of arising. Now, we all know New England has a very, very solid defense and secondary, especially led by Stephon Gilmore. And the reason I have Lockett above DK is because of this. I believe Stephon Gilmore is going to be ranked up against DK Metcalf, the kind of bigger down-the-field threat, more so than Tyler Lockett. And New England is known for shutting down the number one option. I believe that person is going to be DK this week. I think it's DK is a little bit harder of a matchup to guard. But I think that allows Tyler Lockett to emerge in this matchup. As we saw last week, Tyler Lockett was 8-for-8 on 92 yards. I talk about the chemistry about Lockett and Wilson a lot, and I believe Lockett's going to have a huge role in this game, especially if Chris Carson has trouble getting going. Next up, we have Terry McLaurin versus Arizona. We saw Jimmy G have a very decent day against Arizona last week, and hopefully Lame Haskins can kind of replicate something of that sort. We saw Scary Terry have 7 targets for 5 receptions last week. Those are decent numbers. They're okay numbers, not fantastic. He did have a few wide open looks down the field that Lame Haskins couldn't really find him, but I expect Terry McLaurin to probably find the end zone in this game against kind of a weaker Arizona secondary. Next up, Cooper Kupp, another guy a lot of people are probably a little bit sweating on. Not the start he did have last season. Last game, 5 targets, 4 receptions, 40 yards. I'm starting Kupp. I own Kupp in all my leagues. I'm for sure starting him in this matchup against Philly. I think it's very favorable for the pass and very favorable for Jared Goff. I think a lot of the Rams passing game fantasy options are great options to play during this week. And I'm excited for Kupp. I believe he can have a similar day to Woods, to be quite honest. Next up, we have Marvin Jones at Green Bay. And for those of you who don't know, Kenny Golladay has been ruled out for this week. Very sad for you Kenny Golladay owners. Last week, in Golladay's absence, it was kind of a mess as to who was getting the most work. Marvin Jones did see 8 targets for 4 receptions and 55 yards. But, Marvin Jones, as we all know, he's a very, very good deep ball receiver. I do believe he's going to have to make some plays this game in order for them to stay competitive against Green Bay, and I expect it to happen here. I think he's a very solid wide receiver 2 option, and for you Golladay owners, if you do have Marvin Jones, feel free to start him up. Next up, we have Michael Gallup versus Atlanta. Now, this is a smash play, I believe. If you have Michael Gallup on your bench, you probably drafted him late. He's probably been sitting on your bench, and I think this is the week to either put him in a wide receiver 2 spot or even flex. We've seen how explosive Gallup can be. Last week, he saw 5 targets about middle of the road there for the Dallas Cowboys. But I really believe in Gallup. He looked really good in week one, and I'd be really excited to play against Atlanta. Next up, we have T.Y. Hilton versus Minnesota as our wide receiver 18 this week. And T.Y., I mean, he led the team in target share with 9 targets. It is what you want to see. You know, Rivers did struggle against the Jacksonville Jaguars defense, and I don't think the Minnesota defense gets any easier than that. But I think due to the target share and T.Y.'s history, I think we can respect the peripherals enough to start T.Y. Hilton this week with being comfortable. Next up, we have Keenan Allen versus Kansas City. I foresee this game being a blowout, and I see that Tyrod Taylor is probably going to throw the ball a lot, and Keenan Allen being the number one option, I'm very comfortable throwing out there in my flex or wide receiver 2 spot. Next up, we have Hollywood Brown at Houston. I believe this is going to be a murder. This matchup, I don't want any Houston Texans on my lineup this week. I really don't. Jimbo and I rewatched the kind of film tape of Marcus Peters and Humphreys guarding Odell Beckham and Jarvis, and it was just disgusting watching them cover them. They have an insane defense. And on the other side of the ball, Marquise Brown at Houston, we saw Houston's defense. They can't make a stop for their lives. I believe Marquise Brown's going to emerge. He's going to find the end zone for the first time in this game. Next person up here, rounding off our wide receiver twos, is DK Metcalf. I really don't like playing DK this week against New England, especially kind of expecting that Stephon Gilmore is going to be guarding DK. It's very well possible DK could possibly have a good game, but I don't feel like the odds are within his favor. It's kind of more of a risky play at this point, and I'd probably even rather play some of my options for coming up instead of DK with maybe a higher upside. Now, kind of starting our flex plays here, we have DJ Chark at Tennessee. Now, Chark, it was very concerning last week. It seemed like Keelan Cole really had a lot more action in that offense. I don't know what happened to DJ Chark. He was 3 for 3, 25 yards in the touchdown, and then he just kind of disappeared after his touchdown. This is a really big week for Chark. We need to be paying attention to this target share. Personally, I think a lot of people might be in the position where they need a flex Chark this week, and I would feel comfortable doing that. But I'm going to be honest, if he's not seeing another good target share this weekend, or even maybe like red zone looks, I may be hitting the panic button Chark after this week. Next man up, we have Emmanuel Sanders at Las Vegas, a very big waiver wire acquisition for a lot of people this week with Michael Thomas being out for several weeks. Listen, I mean, when we saw Michael Thomas go down kind of last season, we saw the Saints do some crazy things where you never knew who the heck was going to get the ball. They spread the ball to 5 different receivers. It was impossible to predict who the heck was going to pop off. But I do believe Emmanuel Sanders is the best receiver in this lineup, and I expect him to have a good game, even better than what he did in week one. So feel free. I mean, if you told me I wanted to play upside, I'd probably play Sanders over Chark. If you want to be a little bit safer, I'd probably play Chark at Tennessee. Next up, we have Stephon Diggs at Miami for our wide receiver 23. And Stephon Diggs had a very fine game last week. Listen, I mean, I don't know if this is going to be a similar Stephon Diggs show to what we saw when he was on the Minnesota Vikings, where he kind of disappears from every now and then. But when you see 9 targets, I believe you can trust him. I mean, we did see Josh Allen throw for an insane amount. I think, believe, over 40 attempts last week. I don't know if that is sustainable or that is going to continue for a run-heavy offense. But I think against Miami, you're pretty safe with Stephon Diggs. I know people may think I have him a little low. It's just more of my own personal reservations with Stephon Diggs and how he's performed in the past. But I do believe this is a smash matchup, a very good play this week. Next up, another guy I'm very, very excited about, a guy I've been high on for a long time. Our wide receiver 24 is going to be Diontae Johnson versus Denver. And Johnson had a little bit rough start last week. You know, he had a fumble on being a punt returner and whatnot, but he did see 10 targets against the New York Giants, had a very fine day, just didn't find the end zone. And against Denver, I believe it's going to be something very similar, a very similar target share. I'm very excited for Diontae Johnson, and you should feel very comfortable throwing him out there this week. Next up, we have Julian Edelman at Seattle. Edelman, as for those of you who don't know, has been struggling with a little bit of knee issue as of late. He's been questionable but expected to play on Sunday. Listen, I mean, I think Edelman is the only receiver you can really trust in New England, as kind of per usual. N'Keal Harry doesn't seem to be in any fantasy relevance whatsoever. Edelman saw 7 targets, 5 receptions, 57 yards. I'd feel comfortable with Edelman in my flex this week as well. All right, next up, we have a little bit of a kind of a sleeper pick, an emergence pick that a lot of fantasy, a lot of dynasty people have been very excited to kind of see break out, and that is going to be Paris Campbell this week against Minnesota. Paris Campbell on the Indianapolis Colts, a rookie sensation from last year, but unfortunately got injured. I mean, last week he saw 9 targets, 6 receptions, 71 yards. It seems to be that Paris Campbell is going to be a very reliable option for Phillip Rivers, a good checkdown option as well. And I think his productivity is going to be kind of set in stone. I see him as kind of similar to almost like a Jamison Crowder type-esque, where you have a very, very good floor. Not sure how high the ceiling is yet, but I believe his potential is higher than Jamison Crowder. Next up, we have Robbie Anderson, Tampa Bay. All eyes on Robbie Anderson, Teddy Bridgewater to see how they kind of follow up last week's performance. Robbie Anderson catching the 1 giant touchdown of the game, seeing 8 targets, 1 less than DJ Moore. I'm very high in Robbie Anderson, and I believe he's a very solid flex play this week if you're a little bit tight on receiver or flex plays. Next up, Darius Slayton at Chicago. Listen, I don't think the Chicago secondary is as tough and stout as they were last year. I talked about kind of last week about kind of a lot of the people that left, like Prince and Mukamara and a few other players in this secondary that have left the team and kind of left them a little bit susceptible to the pass. And listen, I mean, we saw what Slayton could do last week with his deep threats. He does have these kind of explosive games. And I really do believe Slayton has the potential to pop off. And if you're looking for higher upside with maybe a little bit of a riskier play, just due to the nature of the Giants' offense, I think Slayton could be a kind of a boom or bust flex play this week. Next up, we have John Brown at Miami. John Brown, very kind of similar to Stephon Diggs. He saw a very fat target share last week, had a very nice touchdown. If Josh Allen is going to continue to throw the ball for over 40 attempts, I think Stephon Diggs and John Brown have to be weekly starters. And lastly, kind of rounding up our flex plays here that I have in my rankings is going to be Jalen Reagor versus the Los Angeles Rams. We saw a lot of good things from Jalen Reagor last week. He was just a few yards away from having like a 60-yard touchdown. I believe the presence of Miles Sanders in this offense is going to help them a lot. It's going to give Reagor a lot of relief, a lot more opportunities for play action. So hopefully, I believe this is a pretty okay matchup for Reagor. Not the best, but you're kind of playing here for kind of big play side upside ability. And then kind of some other guys you can consider putting in your lineup. I'm not going to go into too much depth about them, but Will Fuller versus Baltimore, I'm very low on him due to that matchup. Corey Davis versus Jacksonville, if he's going to pull Corey Davis or not, I don't know, and just disappear. Anthony Miller versus the New York Giants, I like that matchup a lot. Scotty Miller versus Carolina, filling in for Chris Godwin. Sterling Shepard at Chicago, and Preston Williams versus Buffalo. Now, some other injuries that a lot of people, if you have these players, you already know, but I mean, Jamison Crowder's out, Kenny G's out, Chris Godwin's out, A.J. Brown's out, Michael Thomas is out, Cortland Sutton is out, Devontae Parker's out, and Henry Ruggs is out. So a lot of big receivers are out, so I think a lot of people are going to be relying on these kind of flex plays, but there are a lot of good receivers options at receiver, so be excited, folks. Okay, lastly, I'm going to give you my top 10 tight ends of the week. Shouldn't be too hard or too long to cover. Number one, we're going Travis Kelce at the LA Chargers, and it doesn't matter what matchup Kelce's in. You should feel comfortable that he is going to be a number one, number two tight end of the week every week. Saw 6 for 6 on his targets last week with a touchdown. You'll love to see it. Mark Andrews at Houston. I've already talked about how much of a smash matchup this is going to be. Mark Andrews still the favorite receiving option for Lamar Jackson. A very similar stat line, 6 targets, 5 receptions, except he had 2 touchdowns. Now, Darren Waller. Now, a lot of questions coming this season was, could Darren Waller withstand his kind of target share? And the answer is yes. He had 8 targets, 6 receptions for 45 yards. Great peripheral numbers for a tight end. Feel excited for Waller. Next up, I have back-to-back the Philadelphia tight end Zach Ertz versus the Rams and Dallas Goedert versus the Rams. Dallas Goedert obviously seeing the heavy target share from last week, but it's very hard to predict which of these two tight ends are going to find the end zone or receive more targets, but they are both smash plays this week, in my opinion. Next up at number 6, we have my guy Tyler Higbee, one of my starts of the week, Tyler Higbee at Philadelphia. Miles Everett kind of struggling with a back issue, leaving more room for Higbee to succeed. Once again, I said earlier in the show, I'm buying into the passing offense of the Rams this week. Due to the nature of the D-line for Philadelphia, I'm very excited for Higbee. I think it's a great matchup for him. Next up, we have Jared Cook at the Las Vegas Raiders. And Jared Cook really took off last season with Drew Brees. I think with Michael Thomas out, I think they're going to look to Jared Cook in the end zone a lot. So keep your eyes on him as well. Number 8, we have Hayden Hurst, Jimbo's start of the week at Dallas. And another great matchup. We already know, we saw all 3 receivers receive 20% target shares last week. I think Hayden Hurst kind of taps into that a little bit this week, especially when they're looking towards the end zone. Next up, we have Noah Fant at Pittsburgh. Noah Fant was insane on Monday Night Football last week. 6 targets, 5 receptions, 81 yards in the score. He's looking dominant. He looks freaking fantastic. And if I'm a Noah Fant owner, I'm rolling him out every week. And lastly, kind of rounding it out with our number 10 tight end of the week is going to be Evan Engram at Chicago. I've already talked about the Chicago secondary before, but Evan Engram, for those owners who are a little bit nervous, he did see 7 targets last week. One of them had a huge 40-yard catch, but it was called back because of penalties. But when you see 7 targets up there, you should be very comfortable rolling into Evan Engram. I wouldn't try and roll one of these flyers like a TJ Hawkinson, a Mike Gesicki. I would probably stick with Evan Engram for sure. All right, everyone. That is going to do it for our show today. Thank you so much for tuning in. Once again, you can find us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And if you could subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts and write us a review, it would mean a lot. Good luck in your week 2 matchups, everyone. I hope we're a bit of help to you during this hectic week. And best luck out there, everyone.